You're listening to The Capital Minute, where we are teaching citizens about God and government minutes at a time. The title of today's podcast is The Five Earthly Authorities. And if you remember in episode 13, Pastor Perry talked about limiting government. He did not throw out a Bible verse about making government small. Rather, he spoke about four other institutions that government has no business taking over or replacing. And in that way, government is limited. So, Pastor Perry, can you please expand upon the roles, authority figures, and the role in culture for each of these four other institutions for us?
Yes, indeed, Nate. There are five earthly authorities because there are five human institutions. And what do I mean by that? Well, when God decided to rule over planet Earth, but not be here with his feet on the ground, so to speak, but to rule Earth from heaven, what he's done is he's delegated his heavenly authority into five human institutions. Now, an institution, as defined biblically, is a human organization marked by authority figures and those who submit to such authority. Biblically speaking, in 1 Peter 2:13, Peter commands the believers in his day, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or governors, that's political too, as sent out by the king for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. Three key words: submit, institution, authority. So once again, a human institution established by God through which he can rule planet Earth is marked by authority and submission. Who are the authority figures and who are those that submit? So, Nate, I'd like to run through a summary of these five institutions, what they are, also what they do in culture, who are the authority figures mentioned in Scripture, and what kind of grace do they display? Because God's grace is to flood the earth as he delegates authority. And I'll point out that each of these five institutions manifests part of God's grace. And finally, I will illustrate what happens when the state gets it wrong and when the state tries to dominate and the state tries to take over one of the other institutions. Okay, so again, a summary: an institution is made by God for humans, human institutions, through which human authority figures might lead, and humans given a role of submission might follow. Let's dive in. Let's look at these five: church and state, marriage and family, and commerce. Number one, the church. The church is led by pastors, shepherds, priests, spiritual leaders, and they are to lead, and they have been given God's authority to do so. Now, they ought not to abuse their authority, and sadly, we hear stories of ministerial and pastoral and priestly abuse. This is a tragedy, because these authority figures are to lead well in the human institution of the church, the God-designed institution of the church for human sake. Well, those who submit are the congregants. If the shepherds are the leaders, the flock are the followers. So those in membership, those in attendance, those congregating around, those assembling. So you've got your pastors and you've got your congregants. And when the authority-submission relationship between pastors and congregants goes well, the gyroscope, so to speak, of the church spins well, and things in the church are good. Church can be a wonderful thing when pastors lead right and congregants and those following them submit and serve and cooperate well. Well, what's the role of the church in culture? It's to evangelize the culture. So the church has the good news of Jesus Christ, the euangelion, that's the evangelism message. The church is a gospelizing institution. So it tells the world, here's good news. Here's the forgiving God, because we're all sinners. And here's his good word, because we all need to learn. So the church's role in culture is to evangelize the culture. And as such, they display saving grace. What must I do to be saved? Said the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts. Well, it's those in the church in that case, in the Philippian jail, an apostle told him the message of how to be saved. So the evangelizing of the world, that's the duty of the church, and that's our first institution. Secondly, the state. We talked about that before in previous podcasts, and the state is led by kings, by rulers, by governors, by presidents, by senators, by elected officials or appointed officials or appointed judges or elected judges. There's all kinds of different ways in world history and in the world today to gain the position of political leadership. And those who follow and those who submit are the citizens or the subjects. So again, this institution marked by authority and submission. Well, what's their role in culture? As we said before, government exists, the state exists to moralize the culture. Morals are that which is good and bad, right and wrong. Well, if the government is to punish evil and promote the good, it's to have a force in culture for morality. So it says it's wrong to murder, we will punish you. So moralizing of the culture is the role of the state. The church evangelizes the culture. The state moralizes the culture. The church from the inside out, the state from the outside in. And the state displays restraining grace. God's Holy Spirit is called the restrainer. Scriptures that talk about the end times. Well, government has a restraining role because this is a fallen world. And not all have faith to motivate them to do the right thing. So in a fallen world, government is God's idea and a very good idea at that. So secondly, the institution of state moralizes the culture through legal force. Thirdly, the institution of marriage is to materialize the culture. The institution of marriage is led by husbands in authority and wives in submission. Yep, there's that S word. I'll talk about that in a minute. Submission is actually difficult for all of us as human beings. It's not just for wives. It really applies to all of these institutions. But within the institution of marriage, husbands and wives can have children. They can procreate. They can materialize the planet and fill it with future citizens, future members of the church. Future families, which can also procreate. So by definition, marriage is heterosexual, husbands and wives that can become one flesh. How'd they do that? They came together in a procreational way. Only men and women can do that. That's why marriage must be heterosexual. So in the institution of marriage, our third institution, husbands in authority, leading their wives and loving them, and wives submitting to their husbands and respecting them. When that gyroscope spins, marriage is very good. And a result in culture is that the world is materialized. How does it go in Genesis? Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So husbands and wives in the institution of marriage materialize the earth. They evidence matrimonial grace. The grace of God can cause men and women to live in unity and love and materialize the planet. To left, number four, the institution of family exists to catechize the culture. Well, who's in authority in the family? Is it parents or children? We don't want to go to the mall to try to figure that out necessarily. Have you ever seen the screaming kid? Bloody murder, kicking and screaming, and seems to be in control. And that ought not to be the way it is. It's the parents who are to lovingly lead their children in authority as a husband-wife team, and the children are to obey their parents as is fitting in the Lord, for this is right. And the institution of family shows the creational grace of God. Finally, the fifth institution is the institution of commerce. So church and state, marriage and family, and commerce. Well, commerce is led by bosses, innovators, those who take a chance, take a risk, have an idea, start a movement, invent a product. Let's just call them the bosses in the institution of commerce. Well, they have to have workers. They have to have those who are on their team. Who's going to make the widget? I have the idea. Let's make a widget. Let's make a better widget. And I need a team of 10 people or 1,000 to make a million widgets. Well, bosses and workers work together. Bosses are to be fair and reasonable, knowing they have a boss in heaven, and workers are to work well, not giving mere eye service, but serving their masters, their bosses, in an honorable way. Well, you know what happens when the gyroscope of bosses and workers spins well according to biblical principles? The world is economized. So commerce economizes the culture. It's not government's job to see money flow. It's not government's job to create wealth, to create jobs. There will be some jobs in government, of course, but it is not primary with what government does. It's the institution of commerce that economizes the world, and this shows common grace. Doesn't the scripture say that the rain falls on the crops of the believer and the unbeliever? And God lets us all breathe and live and have life, even though not all are people of faith. So to summarize, the church evangelizes the culture. The state moralizes the culture. And the institution of marriage is to materialize the culture. The institution of family is to catechize the culture. In other words, the parents teach their children what their values are. And values and morals through the family are passed down from parents to children who become parents who have children. And then finally, the institution of commerce is to economize the culture, create wealth, create value, and cause it to flow on the earth. And when human creatures enjoy the benefits of commerce, life is good economically on planet Earth. And let me throw in as a bonus here, Nate, at the end, what happens if the state gets it wrong? When the state tries to replace the church, you get a state church. And the government, instead of punishing evil, is inventing and dictating ethics. It has no business doing that. Secondly, when the state gets hyper on the state, you have what's called statism. And statism is a monster. When the government gets too big, it swells and it's fed through endless taxation. And it eventually pops because it cannot be sustained, because the state is to be limited. Thirdly, what if the state gets too involved in marriage? Well, they're going to redefine marriage in immoral ways. Do you realize that when Utah wanted to join the Union, the federal government said, no, not with your polygamy laws. You must strike them down to join the Union, because marriage is between a man and a woman. That's called moralizing. That's called legislating morality. Guess what Utah did? They said, okay. And they, at that time, changed their law to reflect a better ethic, and they joined the Union. What if the government thinks they have children and they try to control the family? Well, they take away parental rights, and they think that they, as the nanny state, can take over family units. They have no business doing that. And finally, what if the state thinks that their job is to replace the institution of commerce? You get socialism. And socialism is the natural and philosophical forerunner to communism, where the state owns and controls everything. It takes your liberty, it takes your property, and it says, we're the big old important state, and we'll take care of everybody. What a disaster socialism and communism are philosophically and economically, and they're illustrations of what happens when the state tries to replace the institution of commerce. So God has delegated his authority on earth to reign through these five institutions today. How are you doing in relationship to these five areas? If you're a leader, are you leading well? I hope you're not abusing your authority. And if you're a follower, I hope you follow well and respectfully and diligently and do your job in God's institutions for ruling over planet Earth. Submission is not easy. It's tough. It's not our natural way, because we're fallen human beings. But if we respect the Lord Christ, who wants to reign on earth through the five institutions, those in leadership will lead well, and those in submission will do just that, submitting to five earthly authorities. For the Capital Minute, I'm Perry Gothier.
We're glad you're enjoying the Capital Minute podcast, and we invite you to engage with us on other social media platforms. If you go to our website, capitalstudies.org, on the bottom right corner, you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, and get access to daily content that will inspire and challenge you in your walk with Christ. This is not a time to float with the current. This is the moment to put on the goggles and swim upstream. We need to do it, and our leaders need to do it.